Hello and welcome back to Matt's Truck and Grip Podcast. It's Matt Ireland once again. I'm joined by my regular friends Squeaky and Jim today. Before we get going, just a few words of thank you. Thank you very much to Tom, the editor at Sound Rebel, for all of the work that he's doing. Thanks to my good friend Neil Townsend, who actually designed the ident for the podcast itself. And Simon Cantwell, who's come up with some of the other artwork for Facebook group and things like that. So just want to say thank you very much. Appreciate your help there. And also a very big special thank you to anybody who's helped us financially with sponsorship or contributions via Patreon or Buy Me a Coffee. It all really does help, and we can't really run it without you guys and girls. So thank you, everybody, for your help and support and your kind words. And I hope that it's just going to get better and better from here. So without further ado, we'll see where everyone is. I'm obviously at home, as usual, of course. Squeaky, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in. I'm parked up in the truck, and I'm at Les Mahago.
Les Mahago.
Les Mahago.
Scotch on a Friday, which isn't too much of a problem. Yeah. Some from Hull, I suppose. But
well, is that the Kirk and Dullock?
Is that the Kirk and Dullock? It was a choice. Not a choice. It was presented to me that it was rather London or Scotland.
Yes, Scotland anytime.
It's where, no brainer. Yeah. I'm going north.
Yeah.
But this is my third time this week, actually, that I've been up here. Ran out on Sunday. And then back down again and back up again. So, yeah, this is my third Route 74, third stay.
Yeah.
So, started to get my own private parking spot, I think.
Very nice. What's it like in there? Is it good?
Do you know what? It's you need to head over to Trucker Squeaky's TikTok page to watch the review. That's what you need to do.
Fair enough. I should perhaps do that just in case I get a load up there.
I'm only pulling your leg. No, do you know what, mate? It's a really good truck stop.
Yeah.
The facilities are always immaculately clean.
Yeah.
There's a shop as well that's quite well stocked with all the trucker bits and cleaning products and things like that. And the restaurant is it's not your typical greasy spoon sort of trucker calf. It's used by the locals as well that come and eat in there on an evening. So,
that's
really
a good,
good
sign. Yeah. I mean, I haven't been in there since pre-COVID, I guess. It's been, quite some time, unfortunately. Mm. So,
used to be able to pre-book that. Do you pre-book that as well for an extra few quid? And they leave a little cone out for you with reg on, and you took the cone back to the... you can pre-book it.
That's what I did today. Do you want to introduce Jim now? As he's
piped up, we might as well.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, Jim. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm all right, mate. Yeah, it's been a hectic couple of weeks,
Yes.
Some of you know. I just want to cut the thank yous as well, because some of the messages come through saying sorry about my dad and all that, and just to say he had the most fantastic send off.
Yeah.
Trucker Squeaky come down as well and paid his respects as well.
Yeah.
And a few other guys from the CB app, which is another chat we can have a talk about. We gave dad a real terrific send off, and it's been good. So thanks for all the love and support. It's been brilliant.
Yeah. No problem. So
I'm parked in Wixham's. We've got a sister depot in Bedford.
Yeah.
In a place called Wixham's, and I'm just parked up here for the night. I've got a bit of a land in the morning, 9 o'clock Corby.
That's not too bad.
Guess where I'm going? I'm going to Big K tomorrow, mate.
No!
You on the road tomorrow?
I am, of course.
Ball.
Yeah, well,
I've
got Kingsland first, unfortunately, and then a Red Lodge afterwards. So I'll be going back, unless you get Corby off before 6 and you're up there.
No, mate. But I should think of you as I'm turning out
yes,
there.
Absolutely.
You heard hurtling down in the chapman's bin wagon, wherever it is.
Absolutely.
No worries.
Excellent.
Good
stuff indeed. Right. So without further ado, our first main subject that we're going to have a good chat about is MiraCam, because it's a new automatic gearbox of its day, isn't it? I think, and it's really splitting. No,
no, it's not. No, it's not.
It's splitting opinion. There's no two ways about it, isn't there?
You can't compare. You cannot compare a gearbox to a screen. You know, like it's two completely different technologies. What you're doing there is you're tying together that. On the assumption that truckers are grumpy, they don't like new things.
They are.
They didn't like the new gearbox. They don't like the new mirrors. And you know what I mean? So you're putting the two together under the one assumption that all truckers are grumpy. Do you know what I mean? They don't like new products coming in. That's not the case. You can't do that.
Not everyone's grumpy.
Forget gearboxes. Forget gearboxes. We're not talking about gearboxes. We're talking about mirror cams, which, by the way, can I just say, they shouldn't be called mirror cams because they don't even resemble a mirror. They should just be called cameras.
Cameras. Fair enough. Now, obviously, you're not a big fan, are you, Squeaky? Whereas I actually do quite like mirror cam. We're going to call it mirror cam because it's easier rather than cameras.
Yeah.
But I personally like it, and I know you don't. Now, what do you find difficult with it then?
I like the concept of it, okay? Yeah. So let's make it clear. I like the idea of the technology and things like that and that we are advancing. I like that. We're not quite there. They're not ready. Mm-hmm. The footage on the screen that's in front of you is slightly grainy. It's not crystal clear, you know? Mm-hmm. When you think about, like, I can go home, or even now, I've got a 24-inch TV above my head here where I'm sat. I can put a HD program on YouTube that someone's uploaded from a mobile phone and watch it and feel like I'm actually sat on the beach in Barbados because it's that clear.
But then that's
That's
not a live shot though, is it? If it's been recorded and saved and compressed and whatnot, is it? Whereas these are live.
Whether there's a difference there, maybe. It's not traveling a massive distance though, is it? That live video to lose its quality. If you think about, you know, where I'm sat and the screen is directly in front of me,
yeah,
less than a foot away is where it's being recorded from.
Mm-hmm, true.
You know, so it's not, do you know what I'm trying to say?
We do have
that technology to have crystal clear live images. Of course we do.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just that it's not there. It's not ready in my mind. It's cheap.
So perhaps it's just down to the cost, because to do it crystal clear would cost an absolute fortune and put everybody off, maybe.
So then maybe just leave them as mirrors.
Well, possibly. However, I will say Craig Butterfield, who's got probably the cleanest truck I've ever known in the galaxy, who works for Holtz, he sent me a few images the other night, and he was in rural Norfolk, and he had to do a long reverse between an awful lot of greenhouses in the dark with no lighting on this farm at all.
Oh, is this the guy with the XXXL?
Works for Holtz.
That's what you're thinking. Lee Holt you're thinking of.
Sorry.
Yeah, great. The red and green ones from, they're your way, somewhere at Holtz.
HB Holtz.
That's it, yeah.
Well, they've got a double XL aero.
Have they? All right.
It was at Gaydon when we was there.
Was it?
Yeah.
I'll have to ask it. I don't think it's double XL. Anyway, digressing.
Sorry.
That don't matter. But yeah, the reverse that he's done in the pitch dark, he is, and Craig's a very experienced driver, and he's not full of nonsense and whatnot. He's just quite a understated chap. And he's just said, you would never do that reverse with standard mirrors. And he sent me a couple of shots, and he said that we can use the actual mirror shots on the socials just so people get an idea. Now, also, Craig's, he's not in his 30s or anything like that. He's not a very old man, but he's got a fair bit of experience. And he doesn't have an issue with the focus that a lot of people seem to have, which I think is going to be the biggest issue with them, is getting people with glasses, especially with glasses, can't focus on both. It's one or the other, isn't it? That's the main sticking point. Yeah.
I think one of the biggest factors for me when I came over to the Volvo camera monitoring system is judging the speed of the vehicle in lane two. And I've been in this truck since September? Well, I got it before Gaydon last year, didn't I? So
nearly 6 months.
To 7 months, something like that. So the issue, and that issue there of the judging the speed of the vehicle, that hasn't changed.
No.
There have been a couple of differences. I have changed slightly, but what I've done is it's me that's changed the way that I would process the information that you get from looking in your mirrors.
Yeah.
Or your judgment based on the width of something. You know, you normally look at a gap and you know with standard mirrors,
yes,
I can fit through there.
Yeah.
You take them away and all of a sudden you're sort of second guessing yourself, thinking, can I, can't I, you know? Yeah, so there's that aspect of it, but how can they change that? What, how can they develop that? You know, I don't think, because I don't know.
Yeah, not very easy. And again, Chris Bradford from Across the Water, he reached out and I was chatting with him about them. Now he's actually tried virtually all the systems out there, I believe, because as far as I know, Scania are the only ones now without them, but they are developing them. There has been photographs of the trucks on trial in, I think, Sweden with their version. So that will come out soonish. Mm. But Chris was saying...
They'll like, do a V8 version.
You'll have loud Miracam.
Miracam. Right around the outside.
And a side pipe.
Exactly.
I'll tell you what...
Do we know why Scania decided to leave it so long? Or
I don't, to be honest. Perhaps they were just sort of watching how things develop, or... Perhaps they've been developing it for a long time. I don't know, is the honest answer. I mean, because Volvo did take quite a while. Because I believe, looking at my Facebook memories the other day, the Merc system is at least 7 years old now.
So yeah.
It has been around for quite a while. I've used the Merc one. The Merc one was the first one I ever used. I thought it was pretty good. I've used the DAF one a fair bit. And I've only used the Volvo one with a solo tractor unit, which was left-hand drive. On a shortish run during the day. So I can't really judge that one too much. Again, going back to Chris, he had a week, I think, with a Volvo and with the MAN system. And he said that to him, the Volvo system is better, but for his line of work, they're not ideal. And he came up with a brilliant analogy, which I hope he doesn't mind me using, is it's like having a jumbo jet and a helicopter. You could fly from the UK to America in a helicopter, but you'd take a jumbo jet, wouldn't you? Because it's far, far quicker. But you also wouldn't want to land a jumbo jet on a helipad. You know, they're two different things doing the same sort of job as such. And again, a lot of the feedback comes back to like farm work and building sites, because obviously you can move your head with a mirror and see stuff without having to move the truck, can't you? Whereas with the cab, obviously you can't.
Yeah, that and again, that's an adaptation that I found myself doing. When I first got this, you know, through muscle memory and things like that, you'd be driving along and I would physically turn my head to look out of the window to look at the mirror.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously it's not, there is no, and so then I would have to turn back slightly to look at the actual monitor.
Yeah.
And things like that, like, you know, if you look in a normal mirror and you sort of know that there's something down there, or, you know, a car or on a building site, could be a skip or something, you know that it's there. So you literally just move your body forward and lean forward.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it comes into view, doesn't it? But you don't get that with mirror cam, because you know, no matter, you can stand on your head or do cartwheels in the cab, it's not going to change what's being shown from that picture. And takes some getting used to. Does take some getting used to.
Yeah.
Interestingly, today I spoke to another driver from our place, and I asked him if I could tell this story. I won't say his name, but he said, yeah, it's fine. So he's been driving about 4 or 5 years. He's worked for the same company as me, and that's the only company he's ever worked for.
Mm-hmm.
And when he passed his test, he was put into a Mercedes with mirror cam.
Straight from his test?
Straight from his test, right. into a Merc with mirror cam.
Yeah,
he's never driven, other than doing his test, he's never driven another truck with mirrors.
Right. Okay.
All he knows is mirror cams.
Right.
He's getting a new truck come in the next couple of months, brand new, but it's going to have mirrors. It's having mirrors.
Right. Okay.
I won't go into why, you know, and all that, because it's obviously company stuff, but it's going to have mirrors. And so the question, and he feels nervous about it. He feels a little bit, not, you know, because all he knows is mirror cam.
Yes. Well, that's the point I raised before, wasn't it? We'll probably have a generation of drivers like him who only know mirror cam and don't actually know mirrors. I mean, I don't think mirrors will get phased out fully, because I think there'll just be the demand again because of driver's eyesight. I do think, however, technology will advance. I mean, look at, if you told me 20 years ago, I'd be sat here recording like a lot of an internet radio show as such, you know, which is what a podcast is, isn't it? On my computer with people, I would have laughed and said, "What are you on about?" And you think of like 20 years ago, we didn't have smartphones and stuff like that, and now where we're at. So I dare say the technology will improve that you'll be able to focus that screen for the individual's needs. It seems to stand to reason. I could be wrong, obviously, but I think it probably will because the demand will be there. Then people will have to look into it as such.
I
I
think
think so.
the necessity will be there because people's eyesight. I
Yeah.
mean, I was in one today, and even this morning, I'm feeling a bit anxious about getting into it with the camera monitoring system. Even just hooking up a trailer, you know, I'm all over the place with it. I just couldn't settle. I've had a blinding headache all day because I'm focusing on the monitor, and then I'm focusing too long on the monitor, and I'm catching something up, and I might have to change lane at the last minute. It just wasn't for me, really.
But then
But
how much
I don't.
time have you spent in one, Jim? Have you?
Well, I drove the DAF system for a couple of days in the summer. That
Yeah.
wasn't too bad at all. A nice
Yeah.
big wide open loading bays and stuff. And I had Vinny's one before Christmas, which was, you know, it was okay.
Yeah.
But today, I just feel. I've been doing it a long time, Matt, you know, and
Yeah.
I just feel with anxiety, you know,
Yeah.
someone else's truck as well. And I
Yes.
noticed as well that, you know, that unfortunately the driver had missed a pin, I think, as well, caused some damage. Not me, but I just that first, if you know, initial till I got on the motorway, I'm in the inside lane and or catching something up. Now, and I'm looking at the two lines. I've never been taught any of this. No one's given. Hopefully, that the what's his name? I forget. Martin, isn't it? Martin
Yeah,
Tomlinson.
Martin Thompson, yeah.
Hopefully, my time at Warwick will come up there and show me how to use it properly, because I'm only getting advice from Squeaky and other drivers about how to move the buttons and where to set it up.
Well,
I
that's
just
it.
it's so honestly, Matt, I was like proper, it sounded like a bit of a, but I just couldn't sit in it and drive it like any other truck with a mirror on. I'd get in and drive it.
Yeah, but that's the key though, being shown and told how to adjust things and do
Yeah,
it,
big point,
which
yeah.
probably the vast majority of hauliers don't bother with because they probably haven't been told and they haven't got the
No.
time or the experience. You know, you need someone who knows. You need someone from the dealership really to come and point it out. And but then that's going to cost money, isn't it? And so on and so forth. So I mean,
And the truck will be down.
yeah, that's it. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, because you're a photographer, it's like me handing you a random DSLR camera that's completely out of
Exactly, yeah.
focus. You don't know what any of the buttons are, and say, right, this wedding needs for photographing now. And you'd be
Now,
like,
yeah,
oh,
what'd
you
you
know,
do?
what do I do? You know, well,
Absolutely, mate.
yeah.
And you make an interesting thing about wedding and photography, mate. I mean, Volvo hasn't really published their what monitors they use, etc. But
Yeah.
what I have found out on, I'm just trying to get it up here on my iPad. What I found out that they do about the field of view, and they use a CMOS sensor, you know, typically a 2.1 megapixel camera. I mean, come on, we're a long way from that now, aren't we? I mean, look at the
Flipping
iPhones. We've got 48 megapixel front and back, rear. You know, I know that's okay if you're going to put something on the side of a building or the side of a bus, but
Yeah.
even the resolution of the actual monitor itself, it's 1920 by 1080, which is just high definition. Now we can go 2440. It's like 2K, is it, or 4K? Why are people like Volvo, MAN, Renault, or whoever, Mercedes, going to people like Sony or Nikon or Canon? Why are
Yeah.
they not going to them for their to the, or Zeiss or Leica? Why are they not going to people with the high-end lenses that produce high-end lenses and sensors and make fabulous monitor, like even with monitors you could go with, I don't know, there's some fantastic people who make monitors out there. I can't think of one on the top of my head.
Yeah.
Why are they not in here to give us that crisp? Of course, the refresh rate absolutely is 60 hertz, I think it ran out because of the whatever. You know, with that refresh rate, why are they not being installed in these vehicles?
Yeah.
Why are they going with, I think, off the shelf, maybe, I don't know, I don't want to get myself into trouble, but stuff from, you know, China, Japan, wherever. Why are they not going with, I mean, I know China, Japan, or Sony and stuff like that, I get it, but why are they not getting that high-end glass that I would use for wedding photography? Because if I had images from that 2.1 megapixel camera and looking at that, I wouldn't get that detail. mm-hmm. needed to present to a bride and groom or whatever I'm photographing or videoing. You look at the, I mean, even in, I mean, we've all got drones. I mean, the drone photography is just unbelievable. Yes. In a tiny little, why is that not being put into these vehicles?
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm. Especially if you think about like the distance, how we spoke earlier on about the distance, you said about a live video and things. And I was saying, you know, the monitor's there right now. The camera's right next to, I can put my drone up 100 foot in the air and look down and have a crystal clear 4K image.
Yeah.
That's wirelessly being sent.
Yeah.
And moving.
Yeah. And moving. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You don't get that. You don't get that with these. At the end of the day, it's a business, isn't it? All right. This is a product that these manufacturers want to put on these vehicles because they can charge you more money for them.
I guess so. But then also, if you're less like, I don't know what the difference is between replacing a camera system and an actual mirror. Because if mirrors are more likely to get damaged, and you're going to go through more of them than the actual, because them cameras will take a fair bit of stick if they do get hit. So
that,
you know,
they're not as vulnerable where they are positioned. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, but
I was going to say, I've also had this argument with my older brother as well. There will be a saving on fuel. I know it will be probably negligible, but it stands to reason the size of a mirror compared with that little stalk poking out, it's going to create less drag, isn't it? It's just got to. But it's probably not going to make enough of a difference to really show, I wouldn't have thought.
No, you'd have to own that truck for about 100 years before you saw any sort of different, wouldn't you?
I was going to say, that, you know, with that as well, you'd have to have the same trailer. You'd have to have the same sort of terrain, the same load, the same tyres, the same fuel. I mean, some fuels burn different than others.
Definitely.
It's just like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just something that I didn't think they'd do it, but hopefully Mr. Tomlinson, if he's listening, will prove me wrong. But I've had a terrible day in it. Hated every minute of it. Yeah. I couldn't wait to get back in my normal version 5.
Yeah.
I was saying earlier on the CB, I felt sick all afternoon just because I actually bought a £140 pair, the cheapest pair, very focals from Specsavers, right?
Yeah.
Just because I was gonna go on this thing with Volvo. And, you know, my lorry was in dock, so I was jumped into matey's truck. And I thought these were going to help. They didn't. I just felt myself going to my normal reading glasses, especially when I'm reversing on a bay. The right-hand side, I thought, was straight. I'm all on the piss, if you don't mind me saying.
Yeah.
They're just like, these things, could be like a 30-odd-year-old Class 1 driver like me, look like a rank amateur.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, I'm some kind of professional.
Can we just point out as well that Jim's got a little bit of a sore throat because it actually sounded there like he was about to burst into tears and say,
I have.
I think he was going to. I've been driving
a long time.
Leave me alone. You fell. Sorry, I did. Leave me alone. I've been doing it for years.
You sounded like Volvo were ganging up on you and bullying you, and telling you how rubbish driver you are.
I would say coupling up though can. It's very different. I think it's the way I put it. I guess so. If with yourself, Squeaky, because you're doing it all the time with it, whereas I only jump in now and again to one. I just take a lot longer to get underneath a trailer just because it's a bit more difficult. But I suppose once you're used to it, it's probably a bit easier.
No. Yeah, it's a little bit easier, but it's I dread it. I absolutely dread it. But,
right.
And I'll tell you why. So, obviously, Harrison Solway, the company that I work for, celebrated their 25th anniversary, and as a part of that anniversary, the boss decided that he was going to buy 2 anniversary trucks.
Yeah.
And so he bought mine and a guy called Mike Scott, a friend of mine, and they're both identical, and he's put all light bars all over them, low bars, spotlights, you know, all the lights around the back along the wind kit with all bars and red lights in them, and it looks fantastic, absolutely brilliant. So week 2 or 3 of having this truck, I'm trying to back underneath a trailer. The trailer's been dropped by what I now know had been dropped by a scanner. It'd been left a little bit too high.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm backing underneath this trailer and I'm pumping my air up as much as I can. I'm pushing it back, and I'm watching in the mirror cam in the screen. And ordinarily, when you're watching, when you're coupling up to a trailer in your mirror, as you're lifting the air up, you wait to see the trailer rise, don't you? Or you wait to see the trailer shift, and you think, right, that's moved over. The pin's moved over into the jaws. I know I'm lined up. Bang, in you go. In this, you can't see that trailer move.
Yeah,
it doesn't. It's too. It's so hard to explain to somebody who hasn't ever used it, but you can't see it move, or you might just see it move. Anyway, the pin went straight over the top of the fifth wheel, and I watched it go over the top of the fifth wheel, and I hit the brake as hard as I could, and come to a stop. But just as I came to a stop, the curtain buckle on the trailer touched the light bar on the back of my wind kit.
Yeah,
and it's put like maybe a 50p size dent in my brand spanking new line. I'm just thinking, 15 years I've been driving, I've never overshot a pin before.
Yeah,
I spend a week or two in this, and I've done it.
Yeah.
I think there's a case there for anybody that's new at doing this. When you get up to it, just get yourself out of the cab and have a look. Make sure.
Yeah, double check.
Yeah, you know exactly. Double
Now, I did
this morning. Yeah.
Every time I couple up to a trailer now, I might get out this cab. I get out at least once. Sometimes I get out 2-3 times, getting back underneath and having a look.
Yeah.
I'm petrified of.
Yeah.
Coming through the back of the cab.
So what are they like at night? Because you've got the Volvo system, which has, does it actually have a separate night mode, or is it just?
So, so on the driver's side monitor, there are a series of buttons across the bottom of the actual monitor. One of which is a heated lens, so it'll heat the lens up.
Yeah.
To try and prevent, obviously, from when it's raining, and the other one is a night and day mode, and so. Next to the lens, if you look at the actual camera arm, next to the lens, there's a little strip, and it'll four red LED lights will come on when you put that on. So I must admit, it is a hell of a lot better than the Mercedes mirror cam.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't really be comparing mirror cam to mirror cam. We should be comparing mirror cam to traditional mirrors.
So the thing is, with traditional mirrors, if again, like going back to where Craig is, in a dark place with no light, mirrors, you can't see anything, can you? And people just, so I don't know if they don't, not say forget that, but that this is where your Volvo system will be better, because you will have better vision at night.
Yeah.
Because people who say they're crap at night, yes, but mirrors are rubbish at night as well. they're not, so.
But the ISO at night, obviously that would be brought into it like a video image. It would make it extremely grainy as well. It wouldn't give you that crisp pin sharp. No. However, you might get that crisp pin sharp if you've got your high your fog lights on and your indicators flying, flashing every second to give you that idea. You'd get that crisp sharp. You wouldn't get that because the ISO, probably at 3200, 6400 or whatever, Matt. You know about photography. You know how sensors work. They work on it's ISO. And the ISO, even in daytime, is probably only at 400 when it should be at 100.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to give you that image. Sorry, Squeaky. I just want to,
that's all right.
I think if we, I've met Craig at truck shows and stuff, and perhaps if we was to go there with the truck, with traditional mirrors, just to compare it as well, see how we would have got on.
I would say if you've got night mode like Squeaky does with his Volvo, you're going to do in a dark area when you're reversing, you'll do a better job with the Volvo mirror cam than what you do with traditional mirrors. Personally,
I think though on that you because which side's straight? Mm-hmm. Because of the natural convex of the mirror, 120 degrees. It's not in a mirror. You see what you see in a mirror. There's no bend. There's no sort of reflection in the lens at all.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at normal, but if you look in a normal on the mirror cam, it has that like focal aperture, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna, you can't. Anybody can reverse straight has been driving these mirror cam vehicles for a long time and used to the how which side straight, whether it near side or offside. I mean, stay on the offside, back in the Waitrose Bracknell, I did look like a rank amateur. But the near side was straight. So it's just, I don't know. I want to like it. I want to love it. I love technology. I love gizmos. I love photography. I love videos.
I would say, though, the older DAF mirrors seem to do that as well. I used to park in a DAF, and it's just like, right, I seem nice and straight that side. Then you look at the other side, it's like, well, hang on a minute. I don't know what – it didn't seem to be so much with other trucks, but mostly would have been, I think, the 106s and 105s, I think. But, yeah, they just you seem to have one side straight and one not. It was odd.
I think that's probably just your driving, man.
I was just about to add that caveat and say, no, it wasn't.
Yeah.
I've got years of experience. It's not me.
Let's get in there first.
Been on the old Russian potato water.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So the night mode, it is a good feature to have. I must admit, that is a good feature to have in comparison to not having it on other mirror cams. But it only does work when you are in a pitch black area.
Yeah.
If you're going down the let's say you're going down the motorway, for example, and there's no street light in, it is just a dark motorway, you've got cars coming up behind you, cars coming towards you. If you've got it on then, all it tends to do is just put an orange sort of haze across the screen, because every now and then you're getting car lights coming up that would naturally light the road up and stuff anyway. Are you with me? So,
yeah.
You then are almost distracted by these two screens that are in your face in the cab, changing colour.
Yeah.
So, it's a distraction in my mind.
I noticed it this morning. I put night mode on this morning when I left here. And the cars were coming. I was driving through the Northern Lights, all the green haze. And it's not crystal sharp. I mean, there is one thing, Squeaky, that you do need to mention is when you're laying in bed at night and you've got mirror cam. Oh, sorry, the camera monitoring system. What happens at night, Squeak?
So one of Volvo's selling points of having the camera monitoring system is that you can turn it on a night time so that you can see what's going on around you, and things like that. So that works great if you're parked somewhere where where there's lighting outside. So tonight is a... I'm parked underneath a natural lamppost, so everything's all lit up. If it's pitch black outside and there's no lighting at all, and I'm laid in bed and I hit the button to put the monitoring system on, the cameras light, the monitors come on in the cab, you can't see a thing. Can't see a thing. Because there's no option to turn the night mode on when the engine isn't running.
Right, okay.
So that it's almost pointless.
Yeah.
So how often are you parked up in a perfectly lit up area, and
mm-hmm.
If you're saying, Squeak, as well, that you're laying in bed and you think, it's about 2:30 in the morning, I'm quite partial to a wine gum. And you thought, I just hit a switch, and you just maybe just a switch, and all of a sudden the cab is illuminated. By the monitors.
Yeah.
What's all that? Then you got to fart about trying to turn them off.
You can't turn them off. You've just got to wait for 40 seconds or whatever it is for them to go off on their own.
Do you want some of this black tape that I got? We'll soon sort that out.
Yeah. So, for example, on my in my Volvo, I've got the controls, the bunk controls, and so you can push any of those buttons to illuminate the tiny little LED display to see what time it is. Or, if you want to put a window down because you're warm, or up, or put, the night heater on or off, whatever. It doesn't matter which button you push out of those four buttons that are on that control system. It doesn't matter which one you push. As soon as you push it, the mirror cams instantly come on.
Hmm.
So it could be 2:00 in the morning, you're fast asleep, and you think, oh, it's cold, I'll just push that button and turn the night heater on. Next thing, the whole cab's lit up. It's like... Blackpool illuminations.
That's pretty poor, isn't it?
That does seem strange.
Mental, that.
Yeah, a bit odd. This episode of Matt's Truck and Grep podcast is proudly brought to you by Bradford Transport. If you're requiring transport from Ireland to the UK and vice versa, please get in contact with Chris at Bradford Transport. I think really, across the board, most the main concern, other than focusing, is again recognizing the speed of an overtaken vehicle seems to be pretty universal.
Absolutely.
As a concern. I was just having a quick look because I posed the question on the Facebook group, and it's kind of like I say, sort of split 50-50, really. I mean, David Beercroft, who's from Essex, I mean, he's had an XG for 3 years. Biggest problem is in the rain. Now, I've had very little problems with the DAF in the rain. I went to Chesterfield a couple of weeks ago, and it was tipping it down all the way there and all the way back. And I was about half an hour from my delivery point, and I did get a drop on the lens, which the heat and the wind kind of moved it, and it smudged it a little bit. But in the end, I could still see enough that it wasn't a real problem. But I know other people that have had more of an issue, but most of the time when I've been in the rain, I haven't really had a problem personally. And then you've got Josh Oakey. He uses the FH Aero, same as you, Squeaky. And personally, he thinks they're brilliant. And he even, when they take new drivers out for an assessment, they're instantly dismayed by the mirror cam. But once he walks them through, they're quite amazed. Again, the downside is each time you shut down start, you have to make sure the length setting is to set to 2, because Volvo being Swedish has longer lengths. So it automatically sets it to 3. So if you're turning, the view will pan out to the length and you'll completely lose a rear end. Don't know if you're aware of that.
Who
or not.
Knew that? Right. I had no idea of that.
Well, mine doesn't do that. Mine stays set. So right. My argument there would, I think that perhaps what happens there, I could be wrong, but it might remember it down to whose tachograph's in.
Right.
So yeah, when you set
a profile, couldn't it?
Yeah. So once you've set that up, it might be a profile setting.
Yeah.
But mine doesn't do that. I've set mine up to I know exactly what it's talking about. You can change the setting. So how far the camera pans out.
Yeah.
I've set mine. Mine's perfect. And in that respect, it stays the same all the time. It doesn't change.
Right. Okay.
I had no idea if mine were today. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Literally, yeah. You know. With the radar system at the side, that does help. Obviously, you put the indicator on it, it'll go donk, donk, or whatever, if something's there.
Yes.
I didn't enjoy my experience. I want to, though. That's the thing. I want to.
You're an optimist, Jim. That's what I do. You're an optimist.
I am. I'm a Volvo purist. You know I am.
Absolutely.
Right from the F10 days. Talking of F10s.
With Miracam.
No. Can you imagine my dad with the language he'd use? It'd be unbelievable. I wouldn't broadcast it on here.
It'd be quite colourful, wouldn't it?
It'd be colourful, wouldn't it? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Darren Lloyd, he's a big fan, works for MRCT, loves his Miracams. Frank Crowley, however, because of our line of work, concrete and quarries, just not suitable. I think he's in Ireland, Frank. He's down the south of Ireland, West Cork, far too many sites and farmers' yards where we need a way bigger, constantly variable field of view. Again, we've already discussed that, but you can't just sort of turn your head around, can you, as such, and see in that mirror. Simon Hill, he enjoys them. So, yeah, and Philip Gormanly. He's only really driven them solo to dealerships and whatnot, but he's not a fan at all. So and he was delivering them. So I mean again, that's just from the Facebook group. It's very mixed sort of bag, opinion wise, really. I think.
I've also got a couple of comments from what we put out onto TikTok. I'll just read a couple of these. We've got Dazzle that said, give mirror cams a chance. They're getting better all the time. I think he also at some point, I'm trying to read these live, he's also asked the second question about electric trucks. But he said, it's like digicards and auto gearboxes. Nobody liked or wanted them when they first came about.
See, there's the gearbox.
Well, I don't.
But now the vast majority of people wouldn't go back. But why are we shouldn't be comparing.
We're not comparing the cameras to the gearboxes. It's just the head speed.
You're comparing.
It's the change and the mental attitude towards it. It's because people do not want to change. I think that's what people are sort of saying, especially like Dazzle.
If we were to take a poll right now out of just us three in here, I want to like this technology. I want it
to
work.
You're the same as Jim.
And Jim's the same.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
That's not us going.
No. Oh. It can be better, can't it?
Yeah.
It can be better.
And
with hardware, it can be better.
And it will improve. It will improve with time, I believe.
Let's have a look at this. A guy here called Sean on Tour who says, I had an XG with mirror cams. It took about a week to get used to them and I enjoyed them until it rained.
Yeah.
Let me read this one.
I mean, if you look at some of the stuff that the truck people have put out as videos as well, they're all very well managed, aren't they? They're very corporate. Mm-hmm. They're not. They're not really real time. You're not. And also they're talking about the safety aspects. I mean. Why are some companies, I mean, even our company, are going to get some fleet of new vehicles? Why have they gone back to mirrors? Why are they going, oh, we want mirrors? Is it that, I know these trucks have got great safety NCAP rating. I don't doubt it. I mean, they're fantastic. They're tested to extreme. But what about the little bumps? What about the little nicks? What about the old, you know, what about the little, oh, I didn't see you there, mate, and all that? They're not recorded NCAP, are they?
No.
You know, perhaps like people like Kalina, Fowler Welch, I mean, they're probably the same company. Great Bear, same company.
They
are, aren't they? But I'm trying to think of some others. Why are these people... When
there's
you
not
see
many left, is there?
No, there isn't. No, I'm trying to think. Why do you see more and more of them with actual mirrors? And they've got massive buying power. The fuel saving that they'd get were better than who I'm working for.
Oh, definitely. I mean, is it a case of... Because of the aging driving population, they struggle to get drivers to actually drive them. Because
I would have said that people like Kalina, Stobarts, whatever they want to be called this week, I think that their age range of drivers will be quite young because a lot of young drivers that come into the industry go to them first because they can't get tramping jobs and stuff. So they just go and do distribution work and day work and agency work and things like that, don't they? So.
Mm.
I would argue that most of their drivers are probably young drivers that are driving for Kalina, Stobart, or whatever they're called this week.
Mm.
I think that potentially it's a cost thing. So, A, the more expensive to have fitted, B, the more expensive to replace. And so the likes of Stobart, can you imagine? I bet they go through loads of wing mirrors and bits and bobs and, you know, front bumpers and because there's... They've got so many vehicles and so many drivers in and out. Yeah. So in the long run, what they would save on fuel isn't worth the cost of having to replace, I don't know, say 1,000 mirror cams a year.
Yeah.
You know, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But be interesting I'm to not
find,
sure.
Yeah, be interesting to find out if someone does know sort of maybe an average age range of sort of these large companies, because just thinking if, the other year, the average age of a truck driver is 56, and I dare say it'll be up to about 57 now throughout the UK, if not older. So who knows? But
and is that taken into consideration with these manufacturers when they're pumping these out, that actually eyesight of somebody of the average age of 57, do you know what I'm saying? Is that taken into consideration, or is it just a case of no... These are the best things since sliced bread. So you lot will fall into place. You will conform, and you will like them.
Possibly. I mean, just one thing. Last thing to consider. As such, being as I'm no expert on cars, especially new cars, is the technology moved into cars? Because I'm sure I've seen.
Yes.
I think some Audis with them.
Yeah.
So presumably, if the cars have got them. And the truck manufacturers like Volvo are making cars and trucks. It's going to migrate across the system, isn't it? If you see what I mean.
I have seen them in cars. Yeah. I have seen cars with them. They're just pointless, mate. Aren't they? Do you really need that on a car? What are you saving on a car, really?
Well, yeah, exactly. I don't know. I'd be interested to hear if anyone's driven a car with like a mirror cam system. I'd be interested to see what they say and what their thoughts are on them, because I've noticed them about now and again, especially around where I am. There's not that many because we don't have much modern technology around here.
I'll just read two more comments out there that we've got from here on the old TikTok. So we've got Joshin who says, I've only used mirror cameras for one day on a one-year-old aero. My honest answer is I love them.
Wow, yeah.
I thought it was going to take me the whole day to adjust in using them. But once I figured out the lines and options that you can have with them, like the night mode and such, I felt comfortable. My current job is using a triaxle rear steer blower trailer delivering animal feed. Now, when I was in the aero, I had a fridge box on and adjusted quickly to the cameras. But I have had my reservations about cameras on the animal feed.
Yeah.
Blimey, I didn't realise how long this comment was.
I know. He's a big boy, though. He's got a lot to say.
We're up and down narrow lanes using unstable roads, blah, 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 80% of my time. My worry if I had cams would be currently my mirrors are a good gauge of if I can fit down lanes or through the gap. And I feel like I would be hesitant about doing so with mirror cams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like I said previously, isn't it? Because we made Neil, who designed the iDent, he said, you don't realise that they're like cat's whiskers, aren't they, mirrors? You can gauge yourself a lot, definitely a lot easier than what you can with a mirror cam.
Especially when it slams into the passenger window, when you're going up to Camax. I went up the other way, by the way, Mick. Matt, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit tight going up there.
It can be, mate, yeah.
I just forgot to say one thing about it, okay? I'll talk about my photography stuff, okay? On my camera, most cameras, they have a little wheel behind the viewfinder called a diopter. Now, that diopter will make you use a camera so you don't have to wear physical eyeglasses like I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And I can fine-tune it in. I just think if Sony can do that with the sensor and the whatever, why can't they put a little wheel underneath whatever one you needed just to fine tune it?
Well, it wouldn't take much. That's what I'm saying.
It wouldn't take much.
I think that technology will arrive. Well, I think it will.
Yeah.
I
think you're assuming that these manufacturers want that.
Well, that's true.
They want to make these as cheap as possible, but charge as much as possible and maximize profits because they are a business.
But if nobody buys them, they aren't going to sell them. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Volvo will offer mirrors only if you order the ADR spec, because if you're going to, I think it's presumably so you can isolate the vehicle for ADR. So therefore it's going to isolate the camera. So that's why they offer mirrors. So if there's still always going to be an option for mirrors and people aren't going to buy them because their drivers physically can't drive them, then it's going to be sort of by power dictates that the technology advances.
Well, yeah, I see your argument there. But as a counter argument, I would say that they're still going to have to offer mirrors, traditional mirrors, because there are certain roles that they know that are going to require traditional mirrors.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not the drivers that they're selling them to, is it?
Oh, no.
It's
no, an operator. Definitely not. If an operator's got 10 drivers saying, I can't drive that truck, I'm going to have to go home, and they can't get that load out, something's going to have to be done, isn't it?
That's not my experience.
I know of several people who've just had to refuse to drive it because they physically can't. So
yeah.
And that's
we're the person our place sent home because he wouldn't drive it without.
I've had the same with the old Mercedes stuff. I've always said to my planners, you know, don't put, you know, when my truck's being in or whatever, and getting work done, it's like, oh, you'll have to drive that Mercedes, and I kick up a stink. Oh, I hate it. I don't like it. I don't want to drive it. They're horrible. You know, and yeah. They still buy them because it's not my money, is it?
No,
these companies just assume that you'll just fall into line and you will just learn to drive with them.
Yeah,
you know, no one's. I can stand till I'm blue in the face, waving, jumping up and down, saying they're terrible, they're horrible, they don't work. That you know, they're this, they're that. I can't judge this. It's unsafe when I'm trying to change lanes. But if the operator who's spending his money or her money on buying them trucks, if they like the look of them, if Volvo or DAF or MAN have convinced them, yeah, but across 10 trucks over a period of 5 years, you'll make a saving of £250,000 on fuel. That's all they do. They work on numbers and figures and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What I say as a grumpy, overweight trucker is irrelevant.
Exactly. I think I'm in your camp there, Squeak.
True.
But... I actually think if the company I work for, Gates, bought a 780 XXL with all the bells and whistles, and he said, "Oh, Jim, it's got mirror cam," I think I'd drive it.
You'd get used to it, wouldn't you?
I would get used to it very quickly.
You changed your mind. You've changed your tune from earlier.
I know. But
what a turncoat.
Because I'm a bit of a
tart. That's only in case someone might be listening.
Exactly.
That's all that is.
We need another conversation if you are listening, by the way.
Right. Well, I think we've done Miracam to death now. I wonder if anyone's actually still listening.
I agree.
At this point. Because we've not got a huge amount of time left, but it's one other subject that was raised to me by my mate Eddie, who works for Normans, is the sort of rise. I don't think it's a great rise, but the rise in EV charging points for trucks replacing parking. Mm. I think, from speaking to somebody else, I think this is only really extra services that seem to really be doing this, but I could be wrong. You boys are going to be much more in the know than I am at the moment.
Bulldog services, I think. Also Mark and Moore.
And I think Cambridge or Peterborough, I think someone said they've replaced some spaces with.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people complain about not being the infrastructure, so they put the infrastructure in, then there's not enough parking.
Does it take as long as to put like 400 litres of diesel to charge a truck up then? Does it take the same sort of time?
No, I think it would take a lot longer to charge a battery.
Exactly. It's just like, yeah, I know.
They must have designed it so it only takes maybe 45 minutes to an hour to put some charge into them, surely, I would imagine.
I would have thought
It can't take any more than 2 hours, because otherwise, you'd have to pay for parking. You want to get That's 2 hours free, right?
Yeah. You charge for an hour.
£100.
Hour and 53 in charge, and then you've got to drive out.
Yeah.
And you can't drive out because matey's trying to get in, but he's blindside. With mirror cam.
Yeah.
And he's having a right old flight.
And it's not working.
No.
So,
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean,
I've come across a couple of them. There is one up towards, right at the top of the A1 up towards Edinburgh. The name of it escapes me. Again, you can see a review of it on Ready for a Self Plug, Trucker Squeaky's TikTok page, at Trucker Squeaky.
Yeah.
And this particular motorway service style type setup are very heavy on the electric.
Yeah.
So they've got four or five truck bays that are electric charging points. They've got loads of car charging points. And when I sent the drone up, all the buildings are full of solar panels and things like that.
Right.
A real quirky little place, actually. Very futuristic, if you like.
Okay.
But that is the only one that's right up there. If you look at the map and you think of right up at the top of the north there, you wouldn't get far before you'd need to recharge. And what else, infrastructure-wise, is there anywhere near there?
Well, that's it. I mean, if people out there know of a few more places where the infrastructure is being put in as such, maybe even if it's not at the behest of losing valuable truck parking spaces. But, I mean, ultimately, there's still not that many electric trucks about at the moment, is there? Just down to cost and the viability of it all. I mean, you know, your rigid's doing like urban distribution on like pallet network stuff. It's ideal for that, really, isn't it? Where you're just doing short runs and you can charge every day and whatnot.
I did see five brand new Volvo FMs at Bedford Volvo this evening. They look quite interesting.
Yeah. So I'm hoping
they are when you're next to them as well. They're weird, aren't they? When they take off.
Yes, they are.
Spaceship.
Well, I am again.
What would my dad think of that? You go, oh boy.
I am hoping this
year.
Well,
there's a question.
Go on.
I was just going to say on the socials, we could put on the socials about electric trucks. You know, what are people's thoughts on electric trucks?
Has anyone got one? Really?
Yeah.
Has anybody got an electric truck? Yeah, have you driven one?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I am.
What's the range? What sort of range are you getting?
Yeah, I am hoping to drive some this year through a friend of mine who's involved with some sort of trials with them. So that'd be good. That'd be interesting. I've driven the electric Actros at Drifter Style, just to take it out of the hall and down the road to be parked up and then because it wasn't registered, so I couldn't take it on the road. Oh my god, it was quick. Honestly,
was it?
Oh, That was that. I let off. It scared me. It was that rapid. Tracked unit only. Oh, flipping it, mate. If
Wow.
I really want to have a go with a fully loaded electric one, because I think that will go like stink. And I think if you try one, you'll want one. I reckon. That's my gut feel. That's my gut feeling.
Well,
So.
my only experience, my wife has an electric car. I call it the milk float. And I must admit, that is quite fun to drive. You know, you could put it into, it has different modes. You put it into sport mode, you put your foot down. Jesus Christ, it pins you. You are gone like a rocket, you know?
I was fortunate enough to drive my ex-boss's Tesla P100D, which is, I don't know what model S is it?
Isn't that a
Oh my
Ford?
God, ludicrous. No,
Ford
P100 was a
B100.
little, it won't be
Yeah,
able,
or
no, it's a
Cortina
P,
Estate.
because they have the P75, and this was the P100.
Right.
Oh, in ludicrous mode. I mean, honest to God, it's just phenomenal. But yeah, that's my only experience of electric vehicles. Again, apart from the Unigate milk
But again,
float.
I'm excited about that. You know, like I think that again, you know, I'd just sort of emphasizing that we're not grumpy truckers that don't like new technology. You know, I'm not an old diesel head that's like, oh, you've got to have diesel. You know, I'm quite happy to, if you give me a truck that had the range of 1,000 miles and it was electric and it's fun to drive, pass me,
All day long, mate.
You know.
And it goes like stink off the mark. Hell yeah.
I'm just seeing with it like a Usain Bolt thing on his t-shirt, giving the tang hand.
But
Right.
if it's got mirror cams, I don't want
No, exactly.
it. You'll have to have mirror
Electric
cams.
truck with normal mirrors.
Oh, anyway, guys,
Cool,
it's
man.
been an anyway,
Right.
guys, it's been an absolute pleasure. I
better let you guys get to bed, because we've been waffling on quite long
Yeah.
enough now, I think. So
I'm going to play with my sticker collection.
fair enough, mate. It's been most enjoyable, I have to say. It's the first time we've tried a multi-call for a podcast. So I'll just wind it up by saying, thanks very much for listening. Any feedback on this episode, good or bad, please let us know again via the various socials. We've got the TikTok page, there's an Instagram page, the Facebook group. Trucker Squeaky, as he said, is on TikTok, as am I, as am Jim, or direct message us however you need to. But we'd love to hear feedback, good or bad. So thank you very much, Jim, and thank you very much, Squeak.
Thank you, Matt. Cheers,
Lovely.
Quickie. Speak to you tomorrow on the CB Talk app.
You're very welcome. Just put a side note on there as well that if you do listen to your podcasts on Spotify, Spotify also offer a commenting process down at the bottom of each podcast. If you comment on there, that really helps with our algorithms. So even a thumbs up, a thumbs down, just a little comment, whatever you want, comment on there, and that'll really help boost Matt's Trucking Great podcast. And
Absolutely.
look forward to speaking to you all again next week.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot, guys.